You are listening to the Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry podcast. The mission of the Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry is to encourage Christians and non-believers to study the foundational principles in the Bible to be able to know what you believe and why you believe it. Our mission is to equip God's people for the work of serving and building up the body of Christ and to become more effective witnesses and save souls for Christ. Ephesians 4:11 and 12. And now we have Dr. Ben Pennington, founder and president of the Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry.
Welcome everyone to the Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry podcast number 18. My name is Dr. Ben Pennington. The mission of the Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry is to encourage Christians and non-believers to study the foundational principles in the Bible so they will be able to know what they believe and why they believe it. Our mission is to equip God's people for the work of serving and building up the body of Christ and to become more effective witnesses and save souls for Christ. That's Ephesians 4:11 through 12. Our ministry podcasts are covering lessons on foundational biblical doctrines and principles in the Bible, from the doctrine of creation in Genesis to the return of Christ in the book of Revelation. We upload blogs each week that accompany our podcast to help you study the Word of God so you will know what you believe and why you believe it. You can access all of our podcasts and the accompanying blogs on our website at www.foundationalbtm.org. Our podcasts are also available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Spreaker, and Stitcher. Genesis is the book of beginnings. It reveals the role of God the Father, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ in the creation of the world. It records the continuation of spiritual warfare. It records the beginning of time, the beginning of life, the beginning of marriages, the beginning of families, the beginning of nations, the beginning of languages, the beginning of sin, the beginning of salvation, and the beginning of end time prophecy. Almost all of the foundational biblical doctrines are revealed in Genesis and are further developed in other books in the Holy Bible. As a result, our foundational biblical teaching ministry lessons will begin in the book of Genesis. And we've titled podcast number 18, Nimrod's Kingdom, the Tower of Babel, Prophecy, and the Pentecost. Go with me, please, to Genesis 9. Genesis 9:1 says, God blessed Noah and his sons and told them to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Genesis 10:8 through 10 says, Cush fathered Nimrod, the first great warrior on earth. The Lord saw him as a great hunter, and so it is said, like Nimrod, whom the Lord saw as a great hunter. The most important cities in his kingdom were Babel, Erech, Akkad, and Chaldea in the land of Shinar. Let's go to Genesis 11, 1 through 9. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as they migrated from the east, they came up on a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and asphalt for mortar. Then they said, Let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we shall be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the mortals had built. And the Lord said, Look, they are one people, and they have all one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do. Nothing that they propose to do now will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language there, so that they will not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there, over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore, it was called Babel, because the Lord there confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. So I have a few questions. Did the flood deliver mankind from the curse of Adam and put an end once and for all to sin? What did God command Noah and his sons to do after the flood? Who was Nimrod? Was Nimrod the first king in the Bible? Where was the Tower of Babel located? What sin was committed in building the Tower of Babel? What was the prophecy of Daniel, Jeremiah, and Isaiah concerning judgment on Babylon? Is Nimrod a type of Antichrist? what are the similarities and differences between the Tower of Babel and the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2? I'm glad you asked. Let's get started. The first question, did the flood deliver mankind from the curse of Adam and put an end once and for all to sin? Let's look again at Genesis 3. Genesis 3, 17 through 19. This is the curse of Adam after Adam disobeyed God and listened to Satan and ate the forbidden fruit. So here we go. Genesis 3, 17 through 19. And to Adam he said, because you've listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree about which I commanded you that you should not eat of it, cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread until you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. You are dust, and to dust you shall return. So what am I saying? God saw that the wickedness of mankind was great in the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of their hearts was only evil continually. As a result, God destroyed all of mankind with the exception of Noah and his family. Noah, Noah's wife and his family, and all of the children that will come forth from Noah's three sons are still under the curse of the first Adam. The first Adam chose to eat the forbidden fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We are all suffering the consequences of the first Adam's sin. All of mankind was taken from dust, and all of mankind will return to dust. We are all born to die. The flood did not reverse or nullify the curse of the first Adam. The curse of Adam's sin was ultimately reversed and nullified by the last Adam, which is Jesus Christ. Thank God for Jesus' passion on the cross that has given all believers access once again to eternal life. What did God command Noah and his sons to do after the flood? Let's look at Genesis 9:1. God blessed Noah and his sons and told them to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. This is the same command God gave when he first created mankind in Genesis 1:28. Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. God wanted mankind to fill the earth and experience and have access to all that God has provided for us. It was not God's intention for all of mankind together and remain in one location. Who was Nimrod? Let's look at Genesis 10. Genesis 10 verse 6 and then verses 8 and 9. Ham's sons were Cush, Egypt, Put, and Canaan. Cush fathered Nimrod, the first great warrior on earth. Nimrod's great-grandfather was Noah. Nimrod's grandfather was Ham. Nimrod's father was Cush. The word Cush means black. Historically, the people of Cush have been dark-skinned. Cush was the father of Africans and Ethiopians. Jeremiah 13:23 and Isaiah 45:14 depicts the Cushites as being black and tall. Nimrod's name means rebel. Nimrod was a tall, dark-skinned man. He was the first great warrior. He was a great hunter, and he was a rebel against God. Was Nimrod the first king in the Bible? Let's look at Genesis 10. Genesis 10, 10 through 12 says, the beginning of Nimrod's kingdom was Babel, Erech, Akkad, all of them in the land of Shinar. From that land, he went to Assyria and built Nineveh, Rehoboth, Calah, and Resen between Nineveh and Calah, and that is the great city. So what are we saying? The Bible states that Nimrod had a kingdom. Kings have kingdoms. Nimrod was the first world leader mentioned in the Bible following the flood. Nimrod's kingdom would grow to become the first world ruling empire, Babylon. Nimrod was a general of his army of hunters, and he became a king. Nimrod, son of Cush, was the first king in the Bible. Where was the Tower of Babel located? Go with me to Genesis 10:10. And it says that the beginning of Nimrod's kingdom was Babel, Erech, Akkad, and Calneh in the land of Shinar. So what am I saying? The Tower of Babel was located in Nimrod's kingdom. The Tower of Babel was located in the land of Shinar. The land of Shinar was located in Babylon. The city of Babylon still exists today at the same location as the ancient city of Babylon, and it is located in South Iraq. What sin was committed in building the Tower of Babel? Let's look at Genesis 9:1. It says, God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Genesis 11:1-4 says, now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as they migrated from the east, they came up on a plan in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said one to another, come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and asphalt for mortar. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we shall be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. In the Garden of Eden in Genesis 2:3, God told Adam not to eat the fruit from the forbidden tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If Adam had obeyed God, he would have had access to the tree of life and would have lived eternally. However, in Genesis 3:4, Satan said to the woman, you will not die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So Adam had committed the first sin, the original sin of disobeying God and choosing to listen to the voice of Satan so he would be like God, knowing good and evil. Noah was blessed by God and his sons after the flood. And God told them to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. The people chose to listen to the voice of Nimrod instead of the voice of God. The people chose to migrate to the plains of Shinar instead of filling the earth. Just like Adam listened to Satan and disobeyed God, the whole world migrated to Shinar in Babylon and listened to the voice of Nimrod and disobeyed God. The people in Shinar were high tech. They were the first people mentioned in the Bible that used bricks and asphalt for their buildings. They wanted to build a tower that would reach into heaven. The tower was designed for worshiping the sun, the moon, and the stars. The people at Babel had chosen to worship God's creation. The people of Babel had chosen to rebel against the God of all creation. The people of Babel were full of pride, and they wanted to make a name for themselves. Their motivation for building the Tower of Babel is consistent with the motivation behind Satan's unsuccessful rebellion against God that ended up with Satan being expelled from heaven. Let's look at that scripture for a minute. Isaiah 14:12-14. And it reads as thus, how you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how you are cut down to the ground, helpless and on your back. You said in your heart, I will ascend into the heavens. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the Mount of Assembly on the heights of Zephon. I will ascend to the top of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. Satan said, I will ascend into heaven. I will make myself like the Most High. The people at Babel said, we will build a city that may reach up to heaven. We will make a name for ourselves. The sin committed in building the Tower of Babel was rebellion against God, idolatry, and pride. What was the prophecy of Daniel, Jeremiah, and Isaiah concerning judgment on Babylon? Babylon first appears in the Bible in Shinar at the Tower of Babel in Genesis 11. The Hebrew word for confused is B-A-B-A-L, which sounds like Babel. The great evil of the tower builders is their sinful pride and rebellion against the rule of God. This theme will reappear in the prophetic writings against the city. Babylon rose from a Mesopotamian city on the Euphrates River to become a powerful city-state and later the capital city and namesake of one of the greatest empires in history. Babylon was located on the eastern side of the Fertile Crescent, about 55 miles south of modern Baghdad. Babylon had a profound influence on Israel and world history. The city of Babylon has a long history of being in rebellion against God. Biblical writers consistently use Babylon as a symbol of evil and defiance. Jeremiah 52 details the destruction that took place when the Babylon king Nebuchadnezzar entered Jerusalem. He burned down God's temple and the royal palace that had been built by Israel's King Solomon. They looted God's temple and took many of the items used in the temple to worship God back with them to Babylon. King Nebuchadnezzar also took 4,600 Jews as captive back to Babylon. Ezekiel and Daniel were two prophets of God that were brought captive from Judah to Babylon, along with 4,600 Jews. In Daniel 2:37-45, the prophet Daniel interprets Babylon's King Nebuchadnezzar's dream and prophesied that the Babylonian Empire would fall to the Medo-Persians. He prophesied that the Medo-Persian Empire would fall to the Greeks. He prophesied that the Greek Empire would fall to the Romans. He also prophesied that sometime after the fall of the Roman Empire, the God of heaven will raise up an everlasting kingdom that will be indestructible. Its rule will never pass to another people. It will shatter other kingdoms and put an end to all of them. That will ultimately happen upon the return of Jesus Christ. Jeremiah 25:11-12 says, "This whole country will become a desolate wasteland, and these nations will serve the king of Babylon 70 years. But when the 70 years are fulfilled, I will punish the king of Babylon and his nation and the land of the Babylonians for their guilt, declares the Lord, and will make desolate forever." Jeremiah prophesied that Babylon would fall and would be desolate forever. Let's look at Isaiah's prophecies against Babylon. Isaiah 13:9-19-20 says, "So Babylon, a jewel among kingdoms, the Chaldeans' splendor and pride, will be like Sodom and Gomorrah. It will be destroyed by God. No one will ever resettle or live there for generations." Isaiah 14:22-23 says, "I will arise against them, says the Lord of heavenly forces. I will cut off Babylon's renown and remnant, offshoot and offspring. I will make it a home of herons, a swampland, and I will sweep it away with the broom of destruction, says the Lord of heavenly forces." So as the prophets Isaiah and Jeremiah has stated, the Medes joined the Persians and conquered Babylon in 539 B.C., Babylon never again rose to power as an empire. Is Nimrod a type of Antichrist? First, let's define the type. A type, that's spelled T-Y-P-E. A type in Scripture is a person or thing in the Old Testament which foreshadows or gives an indication of a future event, person, or thing in the New Testament. For example, Adam in the Garden of Eden was a type of Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:45 states, "And so it is written, the first Adam was made a living soul, the last Adam was made a quickening spirit." The Scriptures make a comparison between Adam and Jesus Christ and calls Jesus Christ the last Adam. Adam is a type of Christ. Adam is not Christ. Adam is a type of Christ. What does the Scripture say concerning an Antichrist? The Apostle John was the only writer that mentioned the word Antichrist in Scripture. Let's take a look at what he said. 1 John 2:18, "Children, it's the last hour. If you heard, the Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. From this we know that this is the last hour." 1 John 2:22 says, "Who is the liar? But the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ. This is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son." 1 John 4:3 says, "And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming and is now already in the world." And 2 John 1:7 says, "Many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh." Any such person is a deceiver and the Antichrist. So what am I saying? From a reading of the four scriptures from John that mentioned the word Antichrist, we can come up with the following operational definition. An Antichrist is a person or persons that will appear in the last hour or end times that is a liar and a deceiver that denies that Jesus is the Christ. 2 Thessalonians 2:3-4, and then verse 8 says, "Let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first, and the lawless one," that's the son of perdition, "is revealed, the one destined for destruction. He opposes and exalts himself above every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes a seat in the temple of God, declaring himself to be God. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will destroy with the breath and spirit of his mouth, annihilating him by the manifestation of his coming. This scripture is saying that the Antichrist will come and will declare himself God and will demand that everyone worship him and will take his seat in the temple of God and declare himself to be God. Very similar to what Nimrod did. Let's look at what Jesus says about the Antichrist. Matthew 24:11-15. Jesus says, many false prophets will appear and deceive many people because disobedience will expand. The love of many will grow cold, but the one who endures to the end will be delivered. This gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the world as a testimony to all the nations. Then the end will come when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place. So Jesus is saying the same thing, that this abomination of desolation, when the son of perdition or the man of lawlessness, whatever you want to call him, the Antichrist, he has several names, when he will stand in the holy place in the temple of God and declare himself to be God. One more scripture, Revelation 13:1-8 says, I saw a beast rising out of the sea, having 10 horns and 7 heads. And on his horns were 10 crowns, and on his head were blasphemous names. And the beast that I saw was like a leopard, its feet were like a bear's, and its mouth was like a lion's mouth. And the dragon gave his power and his throne and great authority. And one of the heads seemed to have received a death blow, but his mortal wound had been healed. In amazement, the whole earth followed the beast. They worshiped the dragon, for he had given his authority to the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who can fight against it? The beast was given a mouth, uttering haughty and blasphemous words, and it was allowed to exercise authority for 42 months. It opened its mouth to utter blasphemies against God, blaspheming his name, his dwelling, that is, those who dwell in heaven. It was also allowed to make war on the saints and to conquer them. It was given authority over every tribe and people and language and nations, and all the inhabitants of the earth will worship it. Everyone whose name has not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb that was slaughtered. So what am I saying? According to these scriptures, the Antichrist will appear just prior to the return of Jesus Christ. The Antichrist, also known as the beast of Revelation 13, will have orchestrated major persecution and destruction in the world. The Antichrist will seek world domination. The Antichrist will force every tribe, every nation, every language, and every person whose name has not been written in the book of life of the Lamb to worship him or her. Yes, Nimrod is the type of Antichrist that will be coming prior to the return of Jesus Christ. What are the similarities and differences between the Tower of Babel and the Day of Pentecost? In Genesis 11, the people disobeyed God's command to fill the earth and decided that they should gather and remain in Shinar. The people at Babel were not concerned with serving and obeying God. The people at Babel were interested in making a name for themselves. They were proud of their technological accomplishments. They leaned to their own understanding. They were united with the sole intent to deny God and boast of their strength and ability. Their human spirit was a motivating force behind the construction of the tower. On the day of Pentecost, it was the Holy Spirit, not the human spirit, that was the motivating force. The human spirit at Babel led to confusion and separation. The Holy Spirit at Pentecost led to unity. In both cases, God used language to achieve his purpose. At Babel, God used different languages to stop the plans of evil people. At Pentecost, God used different languages to bring people together and to give birth to the church. At Pentecost, God seems to be reversing this action that had happened at Babel. There are several similarities and differences between the Tower of Babel and the Day of Pentecost. So let's sum up our lesson for today. Nimrod's kingdom, the Tower of Babel, prophecy, and the Pentecost. The flood took place because the wickedness of mankind was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The flood did not deliver mankind from the curse of Adam and put an end once and for all to sin. In Genesis 9:1, after the flood, God blessed Noah and his sons and told them to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Nimrod's great-grandfather was Noah. Nimrod's grandfather was Ham. Nimrod's father was Cush. Nimrod was a tall, dark-skinned man. He was the first warrior. He was a great hunter, and he was a rebel against God. Nimrod was the first king in the Bible. Nimrod's kingdom included the cities of Babel, Erech, Akkad, and the land of Shinar, which is Babylon. He went into Assyria and built Nineveh, Rehoboth, Calah, and Resen. The Tower of Babel was located in Nimrod's kingdom. The Tower of Babel was located in the land of Shinar. The land of Shinar was located in Babylon. The sin committed in building the Tower of Babel was rebellion against God, idolatry, and pride. The prophet Daniel interpreted Babylon's king Nebuchadnezzar's dream and prophesied that the Babylonian Empire would fall to the Medo-Persians in Daniel 2:37-45. Jeremiah prophesied that Babylon would fall and would be desolate forever in Jeremiah 25:11-12. Isaiah prophesied that God would destroy Babylon like he did Sodom and Gomorrah, and that no one will ever resettle or live there for generations in Isaiah 13:19-20. Isaiah also prophesied that God would sweep away Babylon with the broom of destruction and would make it a swampland in Isaiah 14:22-23. A type that's spelled T-Y-P-E in Scripture is a person or thing in the Old Testament which foreshadows or gives an indication of a future event or person or thing in the New Testament. Nimrod's plan was to rebel against God and have the entire world worship him. The beasts of Revelation 13:1-8 will have authority over every tribe and people and language and nations, and all the inhabitants that are not saints of God will worship the beast. Nimrod is a type of Antichrist. There are similarities and differences between the Tower of Babel and the Day of Pentecost. The human spirit, rebellion, and pride were the motivating forces behind the construction of the tower. The Holy Spirit, not the human spirit, was the motivating force on the day of Pentecost. The human spirit at Babel led to confusion and separation. The Holy Spirit at Pentecost led to unity and godly praise. In both cases, God used language to achieve his purpose. And that's our lesson. Nimrod's kingdom, the Tower of Babel, prophecy, and the Pentecost. If after hearing today's podcast, you've decided to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, please repeat the salvation prayer. Heavenly Father, I come to you today as a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is God, and I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. I'm asking for salvation through the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. I accept him now as my personal Lord and Savior. I'm asking that you create in me a clean heart and renew within me a right spirit. I pray that I will lead a new life that will glorify and honor you daily. In the name of Jesus, I thank you and praise you. Amen, amen, amen. If you have accepted Christ, please visit our website at www.foundationalbtm.org and click on the Salvation tab. Then download the ABCs of Salvation document along with the article, The Next Steps After Salvation. If you have any questions about the content discussed in today's podcast, or if you're seeking an answer to a specific Bible question, you can send me an email. Also, we are available for speaking engagements, conferences, and workshops. My email address is drben@foundationalbtm.org. That's drben@foundationalbtm.org. Please like us on Facebook. Please share our podcast on your social network platforms.
If you want additional information on today's podcast topic, feel free to visit our website at www.foundationalbtm.org and download our study guide and answer sheet that accompanies today's podcast topic. We upload new blogs, podcasts, study guides, and answer sheets weekly. If you would like to be notified when new materials have been uploaded, just click on the subscribe tab on our website. We are a listener-supported ministry. Please help the Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry continue the work of teaching Bible lessons that equip us with information to help us know what we believe and why we believe it. You can make a donation to help the ongoing work of our ministry by visiting our website at www.foundationalbtm.org. That's FoundationalBTM.org. And click on the donation tab. Your generous contribution will be greatly appreciated and will help us continue the work of this ministry. And now, back to Dr. Ben.
The Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry provides weekly Bible-based lessons on essential Christian doctrine. Our lessons are prepared for believers and non-believers to help our readers and listeners know what they believe and why they believe it. I pray that this ministry is making a difference in your life. We are a federally tax-exempt, non-profit, listener-supported ministry. We are asking that you prayerfully make a donation that will help us sustain and expand our ministry services. We understand that some of our listeners are unable to financially support our efforts at this time. However, we pray that if this ministry is making a difference in your life, and if you are financially able, please consider making a contribution of any amount to support our ongoing work. We have several ways that you can give to our ministry. You can give on our website at www.foundationalbtm.org and click on the donation tab. You can also give by writing a check made payable to the Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry, P.O. Box 2156, that's P.O. Box 2156, Tuscaloosa, Alabama, 35403. Our podcast can be listened to and downloaded from our website at www.foundationalbtm.org. With the support we've received thus far, we've been able to expand our podcast Bible Lessons Ministry to include Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Spreaker, and Stitcher podcast listeners. We're looking forward to your generous support that will help us sustain and expand our ministry. May God bless you. In our next podcast, in our next blog, we will cover Genesis 12. Genesis 12, 1 through 5 says, "Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the ones who curses you, I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abram took his wife Sarai and his brother's son Lot, and all the possessions that they had gathered, and the persons whom they had acquired in Haran, and they set forth to go to the land of Canaan. Genesis 11 begins with the narrative surrounding the Tower of Babel and ends with the accounting of the descendants of Shem. Abram was from the genealogical line of descendants that were declared righteous, that included Abel, Seth, Enoch, and Noah. There are 10 generations from Noah to Abram. Abram was living during the time the Tower of Babel was being built. Abram lived in Ur of the Chaldeans, which was about 210 miles from Babylon. Are there parallels between the life of Nimrod and the life of Abraham? Why did God call Abram? Was God's call of Abram part of his plan to fulfill the Genesis 3:15 prophecy that the seed of a woman would bruise the head of the serpent? What covenant did God make with Abram? What was the blessing of Abraham? Why was Abram called God's friend? Who was Melchizedek? Why did Abram tithe to Melchizedek? Was the encounter that Abram had with Melchizedek a Christophany or an appearance of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament? I'm glad you asked. We will discuss these questions in our next podcast and in our next blog titled Abram, Faith, Obedience, and Melchizedek. This is Dr. Ben, signing off for now. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow.